Today, I want to talk about a very interesting sermon. Usually, I have a dilemma. I always, on my table, I usually have about four sermons, maybe five sermons that I'm in the process of the week. I'm trying to select what am I going to talk about. And sometimes I say, Lord, tell me, what do I have to say? In 3 days, I was going through these sermons, I was praying and reading and adding on, and on Sunday I sat down and wrote the sixth. And I wrote it. What happens is sometimes God puts something totally different inside of you. And today I want to talk to you about a very unique sermon. I have called it The Price of Progress. You know, what is progress? Progress is movement into the future, somewhere where you have not been. It's movement into those areas and spheres where your dream is, where you're moving to, where you want to be, but at this right moment, you're not there. It is progress, movement into the future. Often, we have these interesting thoughts. You know, sometimes when you start moving, the people that are around you, you feel like everyone is going to be with you in the same idea and same way. Everybody's going to move with you, and my moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and all my relatives, everyone will support my freedom. Everybody will support my love for Christ. Everyone will support my progression in the ministry of the Lord. And this is like an illusion, and you're on this happiness, you continue moving, and you find out that it's not that true. There's someone somewhere that does not agree. There's someone who's happy to be where he is. Do you know that those things, for instance, I have achieved, and my dream is to move further. For someone, what I have achieved, that was their dream of their life. What does that say? That means that is his last stop. What is a step for you? For him, that's a pedestal. You hear me? Pedestal where he has finally achieved it. And right now, he doesn't even have any thoughts of moving further. And what happens in life? I want you to listen to me very carefully, because if you'll miss a couple of thoughts, and you're going to lose the sermon. What happens in our life? I am not speaking about enemies right now. You know that fights with enemies is quite simple. Enemy goes against you, and you have two choices. You either lose or you win. It's quite easy with an enemy, and sometimes people that hate us, attack us, they go against us, it's quite easy to deal with them. You close the door and you say, don't call here, don't come here, and that's it. But what do you do with those that want only good for you, but they're not planning on leaving anywhere, not planning on moving anywhere? Explain this to me. And today we will talk about these little tricks or things. And God opened a very unique area for me, and I want all of us to look into it today. And from the Word of God, I will show and prove to you what is it, the price of progress. It does not mean that a person does not want to move into success and a blessing. It does not mean that this person does not want to move at all. It means that he has met something that he does not want. That means that he has met something that he's not planning on paying the price for that thing. And quite often, we get into this dilemma. We all remember Anna. Quite a known figure, a woman of faith that have received Prophet Samuel as her son. And we remember what this godly man have done for Israel. It is written, all of Israel came to God when he was a prophet. And we understand that something big came out of this woman. And we know the story by heart. But do you know that in the life of Anna, there were moments, and she lived with a person that totally did not get her, not understand that. Please tell me, the husband of Anna, did he wish her something bad? No, he loved her more than anybody else. It was written that he gave her bigger portions. The interesting thing is, what is she to do when this person that he's supposed to support you he absolutely does not understand, and he's not even planning on going with you into the future. He's not seeing what you see. Why? Because he had two wives. One was called Anna, the other one was called Finana. We know this story, and Finana had kids right and left, and there was a kindergarten. And what happens here? What happens is this man, he was happy. One is having children, the other one is keeping her figure. Some tell me, Pastor, what if, like right now, we'd have it in the, like in the Old Testament, what if I had two wives and I tell him, did you figure out your one wife? You need two? Can you imagine if they argue, you'll run away? Okay, that's another sermon. And we are going to these things and we understand that he was happy. Finana was happy. And the interesting thing is that this person absolutely did not even have any idea where Anna is going. And he told her, am I not more than 10 sons for you? And so on and so forth. So he was like this cap that prevented her progress. She couldn't communicate with him. She dropped it all, and she went where people receive children, not in bed, but from God. Because in bed, everything was over, nothing was working. And she said, Lord, I want a child from you. And sometimes it feels like you have you thirst. Do you know the level of thirst? You know there's different levels of thirst. Look at this. Many years, it is written, from year to year, Anna would come with her husband and Finana and all their family to worship and bring sacrifice to the Lord. And we all know that story. And we know that she would come, and every year she had this dilemma. She would cry, did not eat, and the other one would just talk about her and say, what? God, you're barren. God closed your reproductive organs. You can't have children. And sometimes we say, oh, we have a prayer. Do you even know what a prayer is? Prayer is not just an idea that came into your head that you just told God. A prayer, it comes out so much from your need that you turn into your need and then into prayer. You turn into a walking, hungry person that is not going anywhere. He's not going to do anything. He wants to receive this. A person, look, Anna had this dilemma. Year after year, she had this, and we say, oh, Anna was praying. Of course she prayed, but then this time came in her life when that's it, that's enough. She wasn't planning on going back home without a son, without a child. She's not even planning on going home without even a promise of a child. And this fact happens, she comes to the altar of God and she starts to pour out her soul to God, and a priest could not even understand, what is this? He thinks it's a prayer. He thinks that it's a prayer of a drunken woman. He tells her, sober up and come into yourself. And what happens in your life anyway? And she tells him, my dear one, I am praying. And I'm praying my soul to God. And you know, your prayer often nobody even heard or saw your real, true prayer. Everything that we do here, raise our hands, we worship God, it's all attractive looking. But when you start to pray for real, that prayer is different than any other prayer. It looks different, and sometimes you don't even need to see me when I pray to God, because you're going to say we need to pray for the pastor. And we understand these things. My dear ones, do you know why these people don't want to go? Move. They're your friends. Husband, right here. Do you know a husband that Anna had? He went to a particular level where he said, that's it, enough. I have plenty. I have sons and daughters, but not Anna. Anna, she was planning on going higher. So where this family, the platform that it got onto, she was planning on moving higher. And what is she supposed to do where this brick wall that you hit is somebody who's dear to you, and they attack you by love, by trying to calm you down. These are the people that it's like you don't expect that of them, because you thirst, and then this person, you turn to him, and he totally does not get you, because what he wanted, he achieved. That is the most hardest thing. Usually when you're in God and you're moving in God, it's quite hard to face. And you know, sport is a big area. Amen? Sport. And in sports, there is a lot of different levels and abilities. For instance, you want to be a champion in your neighborhood, city, country, world. You know that in sports, there's different things. In sport, you could say to be a champion boxing in your neighborhood. That does not compare to being champion of the world. Do you know that by going from each step higher and higher? From neighborhood, you go into the city. From the city championship, you get into the country championship. And from the country championship, you go into the world championship. And from every level requires big price. I'm not only talking about sports here. I'm talking about movement and God. You know, there's a lot of ministries, a lot of churches, leaders that you cannot call them progressive leaders, not because they're not moving, but because they cannot and pay the price, and they can't handle that price. They're just not able. People that don't want, they cannot. They met it, and they turn around and say, that's it, stop. And there's people that plan on moving further. And what are you to do when attack is coming, not from an enemy, but from the closest person to you? This is where the problems start. Look at this. A lot of people stay at the level of neighborhood. Their ministry cannot be called great or big, not because they don't want to go on a global level, but because the price is unbearable and people cannot pay the price. They don't want to. The price of progress. We are moving into the future, ahead. What happens with a person? When you start to move, and you yourself don't even know that those that are around you, in the process of this movement, they all thirsted, they all wanted. We're all going into the promised land. We're all dream about leaving Egypt. We exited Egypt, and now we're moving together with Moses into the promised land. And the closest people, 12 spies, they were sent out into the land that they had to spy upon and see what's going on there. And the interesting thing is that we don't know a lot about these people until they met something. The interesting thing is, what are you to do when an attack comes from those that you expect help from? 12 men are being sent out. 10 of them met with a problem. They come back, and they just bring such chaos into the Israeli people that Moses' ministry and whatever Israel had to do is just being put on a pause for 40 years. How can you move the price of progress? Please tell me. When we take Abraham, God told him, you will be a father of multitudes, father of many nations. And through Isaac, this is where your seed will be called. And this is where God asks for a price. Bring Isaac to sacrifice. I don't get it, God. You promised me. I don't understand, Lord. Sometimes the price of a progress becomes what you dream about. And sometimes some people say, somebody left, somebody came, somebody doesn't like something. And you meet people and you know where the biggest pain comes from. Biggest pain comes from where you don't expect it to come. And let's read the scripture. We all know the scripture. I'm talking about friends, family, those that you hold dear, that are not planning on going anywhere with you. What they wanted, they have achieved, and the interesting thing is, they will not let you go just like that. They are not going to say, go, we're blessing you. No, they will do everything possible so you wouldn't move anywhere. You know why? Because by letting you go, on the background of your progress, they will look tiny. And right now, the problem is in this, that how should they hold you, withhold everything from you? Please tell me, truthfully, I'll be serious here. The saddest story in the Bible is the story of Moses in the desert with his 12 spies. The interesting thing is that if Moses knew that from the very closest people that were around him, 12 of them, 10 of them were not of the same spirit. When he sent them, they were all united as one. They all were wanted success. Please tell me, these 10, did they want destruction and cursing and for Israel? No. These 10, they wanted success. They were elders. They were wise, the wisest from the all of Israel. They were put over the people. And so what happens? He sends them. Numbers 13:27. They proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron, to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And thus they told them, and they said, "We went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Amalek is living in the land of Negev, and Hittites and Jebusites and Amorites are living in the hill country, and the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go and up and take possessions of it, for we shall surely overcome it." But the men who came, who had gone up with him, said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us." So they gave out the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we had gone spying it is a land that devours its inhabitant, and all the people whom we saw in there are men of great size." What happens if the person that was going right next to you, all of a sudden, today he stops your progress? When somebody's playing an attack against you, usually you can see it. But when somebody who's attacking you, today he doesn't know what he's going to do with you tomorrow, that attack is a different caliber. All of us, are vulnerable for these attacks. The price of progress is in this. How much do you hunger for your promised land? How much are you dreaming about entering it? What are you even dreaming about? Are you even moving anywhere? Are you just like existing on this earth, my dear ones? And this is the interesting question arises. How powerfully do you want that? The interesting thing is people, the 12 of them, they were full of enthusiasm. They went into the city, they looked at everything that they had, everything that the land could bring them. They even brought grapes that they were carrying together because it was so heavy. They brought everything, but they said, "We are not moving any further." And the interesting thing is they didn't say, "Guys, we are blessing you, we're staying here in the desert." No, they've done it this way, that nobody went. My dear ones, Moses's fall was lasted 40 years. A person that God told to go into the promised land. The interesting thing in his team is there was these people that did not have his heart. By meeting something, they said, "Oh, we're happy with manna." My dear ones, you know, I was told this parable one time. Two people come up to each other. Well, they meet each other, and they say, one says, "Listen, how's your life doing?" He says, "Like a striped shirt. It's either black or white stripe." And he's asking, "What kind of stripe are you now?" He said, "Black." In a month, they meet again, and he's asking him, "What stripe is it now?" You know what? That was last month. That was black. So Israel had what? When they left Egypt, they said this was horror. When they got into the desert from Egypt, right now they had a promised land. Once they met promised land that God promised them, they knew it. They wanted it, but they did not want to pay the price, that price for the promised land, my dear ones. A couple of people said, "We're going, we want that." And the interesting thing is that these people totally changed the mentality of all the people. Even the Moses couldn't do anything. Who needed to go look at the land? Moses needed to do that. Moses could not even fix the problem. Why? Because he gave authority to people that did not have the heart of his leaders, of his, and they couldn't do things rightly. And sometimes you have people in your life that their authority is more above God in your life. Then you're in danger. Who can stop you? If you know or you don't know, listen to me carefully. Find out, my dear ones. Because in the right where you're going uphill, you could be cut down. And you think, we live in this illusion. We're thinking everybody's going with us. That's what I was thinking until I turned around and I saw an occasional knife in my back. And then I turned around and I saw, wow, interesting. I didn't even expect that from you. My dear ones, we sometimes think that we'll be accepted with open arms. You brought Christ to us. Come on in. Price of progress. People would not even want to go there. Why? Because they have to change everything. All things that we're so used to. 60, 50, 40 years we were living in it. And now what? Over there? We have to change everything over there. And people did not want to pay the price. And Moses was basically in trouble for 40 years. And Caleb and Joshua ripped their clothes apart and they were screaming to God and to people, don't do this. We want to move. We want to have progress. And sometimes we're amazed. Where does that attack come from? It's easy to deal with enemies, but what are you to do with those that they just stop me? My progress. You have one life. Each and every one of us think, oh, we're going to do it tomorrow and tomorrow. And you're 10 years in America and you still got tomorrow. Your best years go into nothing. What have you achieved? I'm waiting. You're not going to receive it. You have to move. How did I find out that people that are around me have my heart when I sent all of them into the promised land and they saw what they have to deal with? Yeah, somebody loves you, somebody hates you, but that's not the point. The point is that resistance comes to those that are moving somewhere, and the thing that is being attacked is that is presenting some sort of danger. We are not worried about the older generations. They're saved and they're going to heaven. We're talking about here younger generation that is in drugs and who knows what, any kind of dirt you can imagine. Our dream is to build up the real church of Christ in His glory. That's where signs and wonders are, where God is moving. Amen. Amen. Not on words, but in action. This where Jesus changes lives. And this is our dream. And you think you're going to be accepted with open arms? Oh, my dear ones, there are those that are not going the same way as you are. And there are those that quite often are those that are right next to you. You know? Each and everyone. Each sportsman, person that starts from a neighborhood, there's this dream to be champion of the world, basically everyone. And I know people that we started going to these clubs as far as wrestling. In the beginning, everybody was on fire to be champion. But as soon as they met up, when we were wrestling on the neighborhood level, me in my circle, I was the best one. I was champion. My dear ones, when I went into the city level, city, not country, classic wrestling. It's clean wrestling. It's all great. And proper clothing, of course. And you take the position for wrestling. All of a sudden, you're on the floor. What happened? Does anybody understand me? I am a champion. What are you talking? I am first. What are you talking about? You know, I didn't, could not understand what happened because they explained. Then they explained to me. That's it. I mean, what do you mean? That's it. A couple of seconds, and that's it. And I had this question, and the trainer is asking me, "You want to compete on the city level?" I said, "No." No. Why? No. No, I want to, but I have to overpower him. I have to conquer him, and he's not even the champion of the city. You understand me? It speaks about that. I thought that in my club, in my circle, my gym, I thought that was the best. Do you know what you have to do to your body? What kind of pressure to put yourself under? So just not to be afraid of him? My dear ones, there's levels in everything. I'm talking about simple thing as a sport here. You think you're in God? Oh, I'm opening a home group. I'm going to open a home prayer. And you have enthusiasm, man. You're just 15 people came to you. And you're just all fuzzy Christian, and you tell people things, and you're champion of your 15 people. You have authority, of course. People are listening to you. As soon as you go somewhere else, and right away, nobody does not know you. They don't want to know you. To be on this level, some sort of evangelical level or a pastor, what am I to do? Do you know such thing? It's called a 40-day fast. Quite small. It's, you know, it's for everyone that is planning on going far. And my dear ones, we take things, and somebody who's like a soft Christian, he's going to say, no, guys, you guys fast, it's for you. Why? He wants to go, but he cannot go. What am I different? Or the guys, the girls here that fast for 40 days here, what are we different? No. But because in that small girl, there is a lion's heart inside. Because that little woman, she has something that champion of the world in boxing does not have. My dear ones, there are levels. And I've seen people that we're sitting here talking at the table. One person says, God told me to go into a 4-day fast. I was amazed how this works. Right away, a person gets up and says, think twice about it. Why do you care? She's not going to eat. Think twice. Why? You know why? Because he's such a big minister, and on the background of this woman, he's going to look tiny. He barely makes it 3 days with snacks, and some girl comes out and says, I'll do 40 day, and then in 40 again, 40. And I'm sitting there and say, wow, friends, they love each other. They're working together. And right away, this person who's close to you, he loves you, and he stops you. Why? You don't need to go. I'm looking at the reaction of this woman. I have to. No, you don't. No, I do. Why? Because God said, you sure that God told you that? Just eat your ravioli. Why do you care? She's going into fast. And I'm sitting there noticing, wow, look at that reaction. What does it matter to you? No, because he's not going himself, and he's planning on not letting you go. You know what I'm saying? What encounter? No. Where are you going? Amen. And we understand what happens. What, are you going to help me fast? I don't get it. No. Then why do you care? He does care. No matter you would go, there are those that will hold your hands, and there are those that will hang on your arms, because they're going to look bad on your background. Because she fasted twice for 40 days, and he never done it. And, of course, and then somewhere inside, your pride got touched. What, is somebody in the way of you fasting 40 days? He doesn't want to, no. He doesn't want you to go. It's easier for him that way. Amen? The whole life is like that. Even in the world, I'm buying a house. Why? Do you know what kind of payments you're going to have? You're going to pay him? We were sitting there with relatives, and we were thinking, you don't need this house. You're not going to handle the payments. Does that sound familiar? Oh, so painful. And they're trying to talk you out of it. Why? Because your house is going to be prettier than theirs. Their two-bedroom house with a half bathroom. That's life. And often, and this is earthly progress. You think you're going to move in God and to closer to God. You're going to say, I'm going to be an evangelist. I will be a preacher as far as the worldly level goes. I will change thousands of people's lives. You think nobody's going to tell you anything, say anything. Nobody's going to come up to you and tell you something. Right away, they'll say, you? Who, you? Yes, me. Story of Joshua. Who are you in your eyes? Who are you in your eyes? This is really who you are. You know why I did not go into classic wrestling? Because in my eyes, I realized I'm not a wrestler. And later on, I've seen champions. And I saw his face and his ears. Have you seen a wrestler's ears? And I said, can you imagine every picture you're going to have? Elephant's ears, they're swollen. Broken noses. Have you seen wrestlers? At least they're smiling. He's a champion. He's got this championship belt. And I said, no, I don't need that. And you know, I like Joshua. You know why? Because this person lived through defeat so long. Can you just imagine sitting there and waiting? Imagine Joshua and Caleb. They're saying, we're going. That's it. We're going. They were first, and they were rulers or elders of their tribe. And all of a sudden, you're putting on pause for 40 years. And when the time came for Joshua to take the post of a leader, when the time arrived for him to move in his progress, when the time has come to take that land, please tell me, could anything stop this person? No, because can you just imagine, 40 years, he was smelling the promised land, he saw the promised land, and he couldn't go into the promised land. Why? Because someone next to him, for him, he needed to die. Can you just imagine, when is he going to die? You know, in Israel, God said, until all the generation from this to this will die, and then they will sit there and count, did he die? Die. Praise the Lord. They were counting, for example, because a part of the people wanted to go and part of people did not want. And those that wanted to, they just scratched those names off that would die little by little. And this is where the time of Joshua comes in. He takes the wheel, call it whatever, captain, commander, in chief, whatever. He took the wheel and God anointed him. He said, do not fear anything. And Lord saw who he appointed. He found a person that nothing will stop. And notice this thing, what Joshua did. He sent spies in two. One, second, none of the spies did not create division. Everyone would come and bring what was needed and then would go into battle. He fixed his team. There was no more jackals in that team. And look what happened. Joshua chapter 7. Let's read the small story in which Joshua was being stopped. His progress was being stopped. I want you to read the story. Okay, imagine this. If you were held for 40 years, and we will see how you're going to move. Second verse, chapter 7. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-Aven, which is east of Bethel, and said to them, go up and spy out the land. So the men went up and spied on Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, do not let all the people go up. Only about 2,000 or 3,000 men needed to go up to Ai. Do not make all the people toil up there, for they are few. For about 3,000 men from the people went up there, but they fled from men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 of their men and pursued them from the gates as far as the Shebarim and struck them down in the descent. So their hearts of the people melted and became as water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening, both he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, why? Imagine this. As soon as the alarm went off, and our tribe, we have defeat. They're not saying, oh, it's great, no big deal. Not a lot of people died. We'll continue. They stopped everything. Stop. That's it. No war. We will figure out what happened. Amen? Someone stopped the progress. Notice one thing. progress was not stopped by enemies. The enemies were not involved in this curse that just came upon Israel. What happened? Who from my friends just now turned into an enemy and cut me off? And I did not even see who did that. Joshua stopped, came to God, and he prayed to God. Oh Lord, what can I say since Israel has turned their back before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it, and they will surround us and cut off our name from the earth. And what will thou do for thy great name? So the Lord said to Joshua, rise up. Why is that you have fallen on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. And they have even taken some of their things under the ban and have been stolen and deceived. Moreover, they have also put them among their own things. Therefore, the sons of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies, for they have become accursed. And I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy the things under the ban from your midst. One interesting thing is that from our churches, basically, God is not there. Nobody does not even pay attention. Why? There is no power. There is no healing. Just death, destruction, and curse. Sicknesses. Why? Why? Nobody's yelling. Nobody's knocking before God and screaming. Why? The church is paralyzed. It's not moving anywhere. Nobody's asking these questions. Why? You're not going to be popular. Will you ask these questions? Yeah, you'll have popularity, but it'll be a different type of popularity. And you understand. Who will say or speak about a live God? They know everything. No, they don't everything. If they would have known, they would have changed. It's upon yours and my shoulders is to carry the truth. Oh, my dear ones, the truth is that we have to come, get on our knees and yell to and scream to our God until he comes and changes the situation. Amen? Look at this. And then Joshua was looking, who did it? And we continue. They found Achan, verse 19. Then Joshua said to Achan, my son, I implore you, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give praise to him, and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. So Achan answered Joshua and said, truly, I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel, and this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful mantle from Shinar, and 200 shekels of silver, and a bar of gold, 50 shekel in weight, then I covered them, and so on and so forth. So Joshua sent messages, and they ran to the tent, and behold, it was concealed in his tent with silver underneath it. And they took them from the inside of the tent and brought them to Joshua and to all the sons of Israel, and they poured them out before the Lord. And then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Sarah and silver, the mantle, the bar of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that belonged to him, and they brought them out up to the valley of Achor, and his socks and his everything that he had, his laces. You, I look at this and I say, Lord said to get rid of only of the guy that sinned. God said find Achan and just get rid of him. Joshua was dreaming about progress so much. I'm not talking about that you take a stick and go knock on your neighbor. I'm not talking about it. No, he is in my way. I got this stick. I'm going to go talk to him tomorrow. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that there's people that are next to you and you do not even see how they suck all the life out of you. How? By their wrong type of love. You don't need to go. Why are you going? Just stay here. Sit here. Life leaves and you're not moving. You're not progressing. You're not risking things. You're not doing anything. You're just existing. And my mission isn't to irritate you until you start moving. That's it. How many of you have been irritated and they're moving? Just raise your hands. And the rest of you are still being irritated? Okay, let's continue. And look at this. Joshua was so unhappy. He got so sick and tired of waiting for 40 years. 40 years. He was sitting there waiting for his chance to go into the promised land. And here, the chance is taken away. And this curse comes. Joshua was angry here. I'm serious. They collected everything that they could. And they destroyed it all. Notice this. Did Achan want cursing and destruction for his people? No. He was the same as everybody else. He just got caught. What did Joshua do? He cut him out from his destiny. He took him out. And what? I like it that Joshua, till the end of his days, he was victorious. He was a winner. Nobody was able to stop him. Why? Because no matter what would arise around him, there was anything that he couldn't get past. Some will say, oh, this is quite harsh to leave your family and relatives or make this and that step. And I ask you the simple question, how much do you hunger? Do you want to be like Anna? Do you hunger as Anna did? Or like the people that wanted to move and change things? I understand there's things. And you say, well, if I could just get more food stamps, what global turnarounds are you talking about here? They cut things here, cut here, recessions and this and that. And you're sitting, poor thing, and you're shocked. And this is your life, my dear ones. It's so small and so funny. God is looking for those people that he can invest his heart into, deposit his heart into, people that will want to see the change of their people, not their church only and their state even. It's not even it. If your voice comes together with the voice of Lord, it will be heard by everyone. Why? Because you have a dream. Because you will start to move things. People will look and be amazed. How? Is he still alive? He's still preaching? He's still alive after things that happen around him? And you're watching and somebody's sitting there in their warmth watching TV. And the TV is our program. And they're sitting there watching. Are they dying or are they not dying? They come here. No, they're still alive. We got to pray some more. My dear ones. And you look at these things and people, it's like this big football field and everybody's watching the football players. Oh, we need to rip your legs out. He can't just, do touchdowns. You think you're so awesome? Just come here in the field and show it to the professionals how to do it. Amen? Right away. One kick into your head by a football and... I've seen how regular guys, play football. If you get a ball into your head, you get knocked down. At least you save the ball. And you're sitting here looking at this. Everybody's so smart. You need this. You need that. Don't go there. Don't go there. Go here. Listen, please tell me, where are you? How far did you go? And, that you have the right to show other people where to go. And you're looking at this funny picture. And my dear ones, we put here as a church on this earth to change everything around us. Who was the church? The church was born to be who? You think you're not going to get stopped? You think nothing is going to go against you when you start moving to God? You know that nothing is attacking you. You're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere. That's why you have no resistance. And I like Joshua, he learned this lesson to the rest of his days. And when something crawled up to him, he destroyed everything. And even that place where all of this was, because he did not let anything stop his progress. How many people stop our progress in our life? Not our enemies, our close friends and relatives. People that wish good things for you, they don't want them to look bad upon the background of your things and your accomplishments. Don't do this. Why do you have to go cast out demons? There's no demons in the believers. You know that. That's where they live. Most possessed people were those that were believers. I'm serious. You don't believe me? I have statistics, quite serious statistics. No, they're not there. Yeah, it happens. We just pulled a mask up on our face and created this illusion. We imagined our rules and we're playing in this game. There's other rules. Totally different rules. God cannot move in your life. I'm finishing up. And God cannot move in your life because you are surrounded by those that have authority in your life. Authority more than God does. People that often, how many times I've seen this, people being stopped just by one great opinion. Don't do this. And the person puts God away on a shelf. He puts his desire and dreams away and he's listening. And you're watching how the devil just arranged things and we're all dependent on each other. And right now, as soon as you get out from this group and you want to be an individual, you want to not, you don't want to be a gray mass. I guarantee you're not going to be wanted. You will be attacked. Why? Because the price of progress, of movement into the future. Believe me, my dear ones, just be ready. Those that dream about something big, dream about grand, enormous things, be ready for being to pay the price, and the price that you've never even thought about, those things. What am I saying? I'm saying that you have to know all your abilities, everything that you have to pay. Some people think, he's known because he has a lot of money. He's known because he has great connections, my dear ones. I tell you truthfully, if you want to get on some sort of level, every level, I like when, I've told you this before, when sometimes pastors email me, I get letters when they ask me to preach their sermons, because when you preach, their members of their church will listen. Basically, they don't listen to their pastor, and they write me and they tell me, please preach on this topic, because once you will preach it, they'll listen to you. And I say, I don't get it. Who's a pastor in this church? Is it me or you? I've never even been there. And, you know, sometimes we're amazed at these things. Why? Because there's different levels, and people say, I would never speak like you're speaking. I would never preach like he's preaching. And I say, okay, great. Let's make it, take it like this. Start preaching like you're preaching, and we'll have a debate as far as pastorship goes. Both of our sermons will go onto the radio, internet, and, you know, just like boxers, you know. Let's put your sermon, this great sermon that will change the mentality of the nation, we'll put it there. You're so smart. You know how to preach. Amen? And my dear ones, and we see, and we look at this picture, and we all teach each other. Nobody's planning on going anywhere. You know why? Because that's how life is. Why? My dear ones, and in our nation, we have one of the biggest potential. If only we would just destroy the control of people over our destinies. If we could just destroy the control of everyone that brought us up and fed us. You will see what God could do with a person that leaves the system, exits the system, and starts doing what God tells him to do. Who can stop your progress? And you know, no matter what you achieve in your life, always there is room for progress. It's impossible to stop and say, that's it, I've achieved it all. And remember one thing. Always, there was always will be people that 100% sure will try to stop you. They'll do absolutely everything so you wouldn't go anywhere, wouldn't achieve anything. You know that all, practically all people that knew me on the level of neighborhood, they always said, who, him? He can do this? Remember the story of Jesus? What, this son of carpenter, he can do something? And you see, Jesus that was moving, his ministry and his calling. Remember one thing, my dear ones. Very carefully notice who's around you. Pay attention. Who is around you? Who feeds you? Who gives you life? Because, listen to me carefully, from these people, a lot is, you know, in them. And see their success or downfall. It's quite serious. I believe that what I said, you will think, and like Anna, like we see these personalities of Bible that went through hell, through death, through attacks, they came out with their dream, and we see what God can do with these people. And I believe that until the end of our life, from this gray mass, great champions will arise. You hear me? I believe champions will arise. Everything that you need is to start to feed yourself from proper place and feed your spirit with those things that you will eat, and they will make you grow and make you into what God is moving you to be. And that's why, my dear ones, know and remember one thing. Very carefully pay attention to who is around you. Amen.